You're listening to the Accidental Creative Podcast. Since 2005, we've delivered weekly tips to help you be prolific, brilliant, and healthy. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host. This episode is sponsored in part by ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. Go to ZocDoc.com/accidentalcreative and download the free ZocDoc app. That's ZocDoc.com/accidentalcreative. ZocDoc.com/accidentalcreative. This episode is also sponsored in part by Novo. Fortune favors the bold, the strong, the brave. For your business to break out of anything holding you back, you need business checking as brave as you are. Introducing Novo Business Checking. Sign up for your free business checking account right now at novo.co/accidentalcreative. That's novo.co/accidentalcreative. When you create, you likely aren't doing it just for yourself. You're probably making things, whether a product, a message, or a work of art, or even a strategy, for someone else. You create in order to get some kind of response from the person who experiences your work. You want to get some kind of emotion out of them. This is especially true in the world of brand strategy, right? Your brand is not what you say it is. It's the impression, the emotion that it generates in the person experiencing it. On this episode, former Nike Chief Marketing Officer Greg Hoffman shares how you can craft strong, compelling creative work that resonates deeply with your audience, which is obviously what we all want to do. Greg Hoffman's new book is called Emotion by Design, and we talk about everything from, you know, how do we do great work to how do we lead a team who wants to do brave, bold, resonant, creative work. Here's my interview with Greg Hoffman. I am thrilled to welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast, Greg Hoffman. Greg is the author of a new book. It's called Emotion by Design, a fantastic book. He's also a global brand leader, advisor, speaker, and former chief marketing officer at Nike. Greg, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast.
So good to be here, Todd. Thanks for having me and thanks for the invitation.
I really enjoyed this book because I love books by practitioners. I love books by people who have, you know, been in the trenches. They've, you know, had to deal with all of the stickiness and the issues of wading through the uncertainty to try to get to the best idea. And I really felt that in the book. I mean, you can really discern, there's a difference, there's a maturity in the way that you talk about things that only comes from having had to deal with all of these difficult circumstances. So I would love to just begin with this phrase, emotion by design. I'd never heard that before. Could you just tell us what that phrase means?
Well, it is about, for me, unlocking the creativity, whether it's in yourself, whether it's in your brand, to realize the potential of building strong emotional bonds between you and your teammates, and ultimately between your brand, whether it's large or small, with your audience. I just think creativity is the ingredient, is the trait within an organization that really stirs those emotions and creates the attachments that we see between products and people. And I just happened to spend almost 3 decades at a company where, if you look at all the elements of the Nike brand, all of them are infused and surrounded with emotion. And the point about emotion by design is that's being intentional in the way you want to engage with your audience and using the power of creativity in all its glory, right? To make that happen. But we are in a time today, I think, where we all know that art and brand building is an art and science, but the question is, does art still have a seat at the table?
I think that is a great question, right? Because I think we've been equipped now with more tools than ever to apply the science part of brand building, you know, to try to figure out through algorithm and whatever other methods possible, what's working, what's not, what's resonating. But you're right, there is a kind of an art, and there's an ineffability. There's something we can't really always put into words about why we love a brand.
It's so true. And I think now more than ever, it's important for a brand to feel human, to feel more personal and relatable. And I believe to do that, you need humans that carry natural traits, certainly as creatives do. And to me, those traits are, of course, empathy, curiosity, and then this idea of fearlessness or courage, you know, not being satisfied with the status quo. And I think it's incredibly powerful when those traits are present within your business culture. And so I kind of advise established brands and startups. And I always am searching in the beginning of the relationship to see if there is that balance between the analytical and the art, because I think it's quite powerful when they intersect.
What are some signs that you look for that people are skewing more toward the analytical and away from maybe that more human, creative, ineffable side?
Well, first and foremost, I cringe a bit when I hear the word content. Like, we need content so we can distribute it in, you know, tomorrow, versus what is the brand story that we're going to tell, and use the word share versus distribute. Like, it's making sure that your business culture has a respect for the craft of storytelling, and that it's not just content, right? Even if it's bite-sized content that's somewhat disposable, you're still representing your brand and your brand values. And so I'm always pushing for this idea of respect the craft of story, right? Every interaction that the consumer has with your brand should be respected, and should reveal something about yourself as a brand. And, you know, there's so many traits and characteristics to who we are as human beings, but same with your brand. And the question is, are you exercising those traits through the way you reveal yourself to the consumer, or are you moving so quickly at the pace of the consumer, what they demand, which you must keep up with, but are you not balancing that as well with going through the process of asking the questions of the work that you're putting out there, ensuring that it's building that emotional equity that I think brands like Nike have done year after year.
Yeah. You know, I really love the way you describe that. I have on my wall, you can't see behind me, we are looking at each other, but right just over my shoulder, I have a large framed version of the Walt Disney business model from 1957. Oh. And what I really like about the business model was everything centers around what he called the creative idea factory, basically the creative talent of the studio. That was the center. It wasn't content. It wasn't, you know, movies. It wasn't music. It was basically the creative talent was at the center of everything. And I think when you talk about content, the way that you talk about content, kind of what you're describing is content is an outcropping maybe of that exactly. creative factory, right? That creative core of the organization.
Well, and that's, yeah. And great point, Todd. And you know, that I kind of refer to this book also as a call to arms, right? To make sure that, you know, you can share kind of this experience so that business leaders can understand to hear someone talk about the potential of creativity within your business and creative individuals and teams, but show it. Like, what does that look like when you have a culture where people don't have to ask for permission to use their imagination? Like, there's literally space that's protected to conceive ideas that, quite frankly, might be somewhat outside of the normal work plan, right, or concept map. But let me say this. I love the fact that you can measure the productivity of just about anything that you output as a brand. I'm asking that we balance that with the human ingenuity that resides in a creative practice, and commit to that. And ultimately, that's great business, and it contributes to better innovations and more human connections, as we've talked about.
Yeah, fantastic. I want to dive into a couple of concepts in the book. A couple of things that really stood out to me throughout the book. And again, as I mentioned, it's so packed with practical, tactical things that are rooted in your experiences. I would love for you to share about your Coach K moment that seems relevant given that he just retired. He just, you know, coached his last game, at least as far as we know, just coached his last game. And what that Coach K moment taught you about team creativity.
Yes. Yeah, so just going back to that moment. So imagine we all have staff meetings, right? If we work within a company or a brand. And we always had a weekly marketing staff meeting every Monday. And usually you were trying to time when you arrive so that maybe you weren't in that first seat and you would have to give your update first, right? Because you're working so hard, you have so much going on, is oftentimes people were writing their update while someone else was pitching what they were doing. And as we sat there, the door burst open, and lo and behold, in walks Coach K, right? Five-time NCAA champ, right? Just legend, Mike Krzyzewski. And said a quick hi and then literally launched into a pep talk. And we were kind of taken by surprise. And he started off with a statement. He just said, your eyes are your advantage. You have the ability to see what others don't see. And he was talking about us as, you know, as a Nike marketing group, your vision is your advantage. And how I receive that is, you know, this idea of seeing what others see, but find what others don't. And it is that idea of empathy, which I think, I believe, is the start of a successful creative process. You're seeing a need by unpacking the layers and getting past the, you know, simple assumptions and observations that all of us see. But if you look at the strongest work, it's because someone went deeper or they broadened their peripheral vision. And I use this great legendary example to illustrate what Coach K was saying, which is, I believe, my favorite Nike commercial, right? And it's when Michael Jordan was going after his sixth NBA championship. And the creative team at Wieden & Kennedy, the agency that was part of Nike's relationship on its creative journey, saw something else because they spent the time with him and asked the questions and got through the surface and under the layers. And so while everyone else was looking at his greatness on the court, the writers came back and said, actually, talking to Michael, he's missed 20,000 shots. 28 times he's been asked to take the game-winning shot and he's missed. And yet that's why he succeeds. Mm. Success through failure is such a huge part of the innovation process. And it's important for brands to recognize that and value that. And so that obviously was the insight, you know, what Coach K talked about in terms of the vision advantage. And then it's up to the creative team to reveal that in the most profound creative way. And that's kind of, I think, what creates something that's iconic in the eyes of an audience.
Yeah. I, by the way, that is also my favorite, I think my favorite commercial of all time, probably because it speaks deeply to me as somebody in the creative fields, right? That this idea of taking shots, right? Of
that's right.
Putting work into the world, and not everything's going to work, and that's okay. But the more shots you take, the more chances there are something's going to resonate. As a leader of teams, how do you encourage people to do that? Because often people won't. They won't take that's those right. risks. They won't engage in that act of bravery. Instead, they do what's expected, they do what's safe, or they just don't take the shot at all. How do you encourage a culture where people are willing to do that?
It's a great question. And because it does start with incentivizing risk-taking within your culture and making sure that the team can not only feel that commitment from you, maybe as the leader, but they have to feel it through the whole organization. And oftentimes, one of the biggest barriers I faced as a leader who had teams that were focused on brand innovation, which is dreaming about what's next in terms of storytelling and brand experiences, and often linking the latest digital technology with the physical experience of a consumer. And I would always tell the team, look, you know, we're looking to bat 250, okay, or something close to that. We may pitch 4 ideas a quarter, right? And success for me is that we're able to prototype and maybe test one of those, okay? And maybe by the end of the year, we put one of those into the wild and it scales. And, you know, one of the ways you convince the team is, well, you have to start, you need to have success kind of upfront at some point so people can see not just your rhetoric, right, about trying to get everybody charged up about this incredible opportunity we have to be in this white space where we get the dream concepts, right? Because to be honest, what I found is most creators ultimately want to know, they want to see their work in the real world, right? And so I will say that it is a threshold you have to move through to get everyone to buy in that, you know, you are going for a bit of volume, and you're going to coming out of that is going to hopefully be something that leads to a concept that scales. And I can tell you this, you know, all of the apps we developed at Nike over the years, and some of the other biggest marketing concepts that we take for granted today, they just started as a conversation between a couple people that wasn't briefed. You know, someone asked the question, what if? What if we intersected this with that? Visualized it quickly, brought people into a room, because what I firmly believe in is the power of visualization, right? And not just talking about ideas, but seeing them. And that's the ultimate accelerator. And that's the power of a creative, right? Of an individual who is able to kind of bring ideas to life in a visceral way is such a huge advantage internally within a business culture. And but again, I will say it's something that I always had to work on. I always had to have empathy for a team that wanted to feel like everything they were doing was going to make it out there.
Yeah.
But the reality is all it takes is one hit within a year to create a multi-million dollar idea. And that's kind of, you keep your eye on that North Star. It's not about the volume. It's just kind of being able to edit down from a lot of opportunities into one that makes the most sense within the world that you're living in today.
This episode is sponsored in part by Novo. Fortune favors the bold, the strong, and the brave. For your business to break out of anything holding you back, you need business checking as brave as you are. Introducing Novo Business Checking. Novo is powerfully simple business checking. And unlike the traditional banking model, Novo has no minimum balances, no transaction limits, and no hidden fees. Instead of a one-size-fits-all approach, Novo is customized to your business to save you time and free up cash flow with seamless integrations to Stripe, Shopify, QuickBooks Online, and more. Sign up for Novo for free and join the community of over 150,000 fearless small businesses who have found the customizable business checking solution that admires their brave. Sign up for your free business checking account right now at novo.co/accidentalcreative. Plus, Accidental Creative listeners get access to over $5,000 in perks and discounts. Go to novo.co/accidentalcreative to sign up for free. novo.co/accidentalcreative. Novo Platform Inc. is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services provided by Middlesex Federal Savings FA, member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. This episode is also sponsored in part by ZocDoc. So there are some amazing doctors out there, but really the only ones that matter are the ones who actually take your insurance. With ZocDoc, you can focus on doctors who are in-network, putting you on the path to see doctors who are right for you. So no more wasting time hunting down Aunt Shirley's cash-only chiropractor or the dentist your coworker recommended who's out of your network. ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. You can read up on local doctors, get verified patient reviews, and see what other real humans had to say about their visit. So when you walk into that doctor's office, you're set up to see someone in your network who gets you. Go to ZocDoc.com, choose a time slot, and whether you want to see a doctor in person or do a video visit. And just like that, you're booked. You can find the doctor that is right for you and book an appointment that works for your schedule. Every month, millions of people use ZocDoc. In the chaotic world of healthcare, let ZocDoc be your trusted guide to find a quality doctor in a way that's surprisingly pain-free. With ZocDoc, you could get your docs in a row. Go to ZocDoc.com/accidentalcreative and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/accidentalcreative. ZocDoc.com/accidentalcreative. So I want to pursue that line of discussion a little bit because I'm fascinated by top performers, people who have had a lot of success in their work and their career and leading other teams or leading teams of people. How do you know when an idea is right? Do you have a way of thinking about ideas, a way of analyzing them? How do you know when something is right versus maybe when it's not the right idea?
It's a great point, and certainly when there are resource restrictions or time restrictions, that has to be taken into account in terms of how much testing can you do. But I live by this idea that ultimately the audience decides, and so it's really important to take an idea to the point. And I use a couple examples right in the book, and both, you know, digital and physical retail examples to kind of show how, a concept started as a conversation. It was brought to life in an exciting way internally, and we were giving the space and the support to go out and actually build that out, whether it was an app or it was a store or something. But there were times where it didn't resonate, right? And if failure only equals failure, well, that would be the end of that, mm-hmm. right? But the whole point was, if everyone is bought in on this, trying to not only serve the consumer where they are in the way they want to engage with you, at the same time, surprise and delight them with concepts that they hadn't imagined before, mm-hmm. I think is also just as important. And if you believe that, then you have to be willing to allow some of the things that you have consensus with to make their way out into the world, knowing that they're not always going to stick. But as long as they're rooted in why you exist as a brand and what your promise is, Nikes, of course, bring inspiration and innovation to all athletes, right? You and I and everyone else. And so as long as you're clear about why you exist in the world and what your promise is, you have a much better, ratio of success than if you're unclear. But to be honest, and you've probably experienced this, Todd, not all brands necessarily have their brand plan, you know, on a one sheet of paper up on the wall in every employee's working space, right? And I think it's really important, though, that you start that way. And that's one of the things I do now is as an instructor of branding at the University of Oregon's Graduate School of Business. We work on the art and the science. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able, for your concept within that class, you have to be able to create a one-page brand house, right? Starting from the top all the way to the bottom, along with all of the other kind of visually engaging things like logos and names and brand colors. So you can't have one without the other. Otherwise, to your point, your recipe for success is just, it's not going to give you the chance to, as you said, hit that shot when your time comes.
Fantastic. So you talk a lot, there's a section in the book where you talk about the importance of obsessing over the last 10%. What does that mean, first of all, and why is that important? Because you may hear a lot about your Pareto principle, 80-20, you get 80 for the 20, you know, but you talk a lot about the importance of that last 10%. Why is that so important?
Yeah, I've always believed that. You know, if you hold even the smallest detail in terms of how your brand is expressed in the world to the highest standard, that has an amazing effect within the world. And certainly if you look at fashion brands and the way their branding and brand identity is brought to life through their packaging, through their advertising, through their art direction, everything, you would never say that someone took a playoff, that someone said it's good enough. You can just feel it. And it's not about, I want to be clear here, because I think I love the quote by Albert Einstein, make it as simple as possible, but not simpler. Mm-hmm. The point is you're not, it's not about perfection to the point where you've removed the soul and the personality from what you're trying to create because it's so refined and dialed in terms of that last 10%. I look at obsessing the details two ways. It's, of course, those visual details all the way to the very end, but it's also the last 10% of the emotional story, right? And making sure that that's going to resonate within the frame that you've created, right? And I had the great privilege of working with Apple over the years on the collaborations we had with Nike. And even up front, you know, in person, got to see Steve Jobs, you know, in his obsession with details and how that is such a big part of the appreciation that the audience has for Apple products and Apple experiences. They don't consciously know that necessarily, but it shows within the business and the love that people have, not just for the Apple products, but the ritual of receiving those products and opening those packaging and appreciating the fact that oftentimes the directions are only a small card with three steps, that someone took the time to edit and amplify only what is really necessary for you to know. And I just think more brands could kind of, you know, take that as an example within how they approach their work.
Beautiful. I have one more question for you, and I didn't prepare you for this, so sorry, but this is sort of a routine question I love to ask people who have accomplished a lot. Is there a piece of advice that you received at some point in your life that impacted you, that changed you in some way? And what was it, and how did that advice change you?
You know, it was not necessarily one piece of advice. As a lifelong introvert, right, someone who started my career as one who really communicated through the work, right, through your hands and designing and creating buildings and logos and posters, whatever it was early on. And I really had a lot of leaders in my life that really drew out my leadership voice, right? And I think that's really important, certainly when you're talking about creative leadership in business, is oftentimes creatives, you know, avoid a corporate structure, right? Because they're not necessarily feel that they could show up as themselves within that environment. And I'm here to tell you that I think that those times are gone. And I certainly benefited from those around me to really challenge me to speak up and use my position and platform to bring a new voice into the boardroom, if you will. And I think that's that idea of diversity, right? It's realizing that your personal perspective, expertise, and experience is needed within the professional environment. And it is what, back to the Coach K example, and empathy and having greater vision, collective vision as a team, is you need that diversity in the room. You need new voices that maybe oftentimes aren't the loudest voice in the room, but have a perspective that quite frankly could lead to unbelievable business opportunities and of course brand strength over time.
Fantastic. We've been talking with Greg Hoffman. He is the former chief marketing officer at Nike. More importantly, he's the author of a brand new book called Emotion by Design, a fantastic new book. Greg, if people want to learn more about you and connect with your work, where would you send them?
Yeah, two places. They can go to emotionbydesign.co They can follow me on Instagram at GHOFF70. And then they can go to my brand advisory site, themodernarena.com. And I welcome any conversations and always happy to engage on these types of themes. I love it. I'm super passionate about it.
Wonderful. Well, Greg, thanks so much for taking the time to share your insights with us today.
Thanks, Todd. Really appreciate the invitation and the conversation.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Greg Hoffman. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you next time.